Next on BYUSN, go ahead and make it four straight wins. BYU beats UCF on the road. Who was the MVP of Saturday's big win? And was this BYU's best win of the season? We are exactly halfway through Big 12 play. BYU tied for fifth. Is there a chance they could finish in the top five by end of the regular season?
Jimmer Fredette will join the program. Oh, we love the Jimmer. He'll break down what BYU is doing best right now and look ahead to tomorrow's game against Arizona. And guess what? The Big 12 will release the 2025 football schedules tomorrow. What's the first thing we'll be looking for on BYU's schedule?
Where's the Utah game, right? Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy winning Monday, February 3rd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who has been known to follow the NBA trades very closely, Jason Shepard. Shep, did anything happen this weekend?
You know what? Not a whole lot. Just maybe the weirdest, biggest trade in NBA history. I mean, just like everybody else in the sports world, cannot believe that Luka Doncic was traded to the LA Lakers.
25 years old, superstar.
He's not even in his prime.
I know.
Not even in his prime. Just like you and I, we're still under our prime.
I did not feel like my prime when I woke up this morning.
The funny part about this is there's actually kind of a BYU tie into this from a social media standpoint.
I love it.
This is great. Kyle Collinsworth, who, by the way, is a big Dallas Mavericks fan,
yeah,
and got a chance to play with the Mavericks. He said, I played for the Dallas Mavericks. Let's tank for Luka team. All that work for them to just trade him away like this. My hard work feels undervalued and wasted now. They don't think about Kyle Collinsworth when they make these changes.
I love Big Rush of Five in early on the show with a fantastic social media post. Then the Rams, our guys in Los Angeles on the football side, they say, quote, that Luka Doncic nickname hitting different right now.
Okay, had you heard that before?
No.
I had not heard that, but it fits.
So there's a couple of BYU ties in on this. We're here for it.
Look, if there's not a local or national, because it's LA, so it doesn't have to be local. If there's not someone that jumps on the we need to have Luka and Puka spokespeople, I'm doing your work for you
yes,
at this point.
Yes, absolutely. Those two should be the headliners just down south in San Diego at Comic-Con, okay?
Luka and
Puka together. Pay them whatever it costs. Get them there. Oh, boy. Hey, we're off and running on a fantastic Monday. Time to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Make it 4-for-4 wins over Central Florida.
Mawai was freaking incredible today.
What can we say but magnificent?
Came down to was an attitude of we have got to just be tougher. We learn how to just slow the game, especially here on the road.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Oh, what a weekend in Orlando for BYU men's basketball. The Cougars win their fourth straight game and pick up their first quad one road win of the season with that 81-75 triumph on Saturday afternoon. Big time performances, Jason, from a number of players. So many guys and a few way off the radar that come in and play a monumental role in this game. So, straight up, who do you think the most valuable player of Saturday's BYU win at UCF was?
Yeah, I mean, let's go over some of the guys that are in the running for this. Obviously, Richie Saunders led the team with 22 points. What he's done this year has just been phenomenal. You meant Mawat Mag, 19 points, 5 assists, and also defensively, he is such an impressive defensive player. Trevor Nell with 15 points, Kay Bakeda with 10 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 big blocks down the stretch. Mm. I think the way I lean on this is Mawit Mag.
Oh, boy.
Because, look, not only did he finish with 19 points, but 16 of those came in the second half. And, again, I go back to his ability to just be a force defensively.
Yep.
On the ball, he is an absolute pest defensively, and I mean that in the best possible way. I think what Mawit did in that game was invaluable. So that's where I go. Where do you go?
It's hard to argue against Mawit Mag. He has emerged largely since he was inserted into the starting lineup.
Yeah.
That tweak, Kevin Young was looking for it, and that was a huge issue. Still trying to figure out what lineup's going to work, which guys compared with, you know, which people on the floor are going to be the most beneficial. He is locking in that starting five and those bench roles and the rotations and the minutes. Mouet Mag is a huge part of that. And I just think he's ready for the moment. He took and made massive shots on Saturday. And then his lockdown defense at times, I thought, really gave UCF some problems. So it's hard for me to argue against that because of just how critical he was. Like, if Mouet Mag doesn't play the way that he did on Saturday, there is no way BYU is winning that
right.
game.
Right, yeah.
No way! Because you get 4 combined points from a guy who didn't miss a shot against Baylor
yep.
in Cannon Catchings, then your 2 point guards, Dallin Hall and Yegor Deming. 4 points combined. So you needed big-time performances from Mouet Mag and Trevin Nell, and you needed Kaba Keita to play a larger role. And then captain consistency, the dude of requirement, Richie Saunders, just doing his thing. So if it's not Mouet, I'll give you one other option, and that's Richie. And it's probably unfair to Richie because we've just become so accustomed to yeah. him being the guy for BYU. Richie will give you somewhere between 16 and 20 points a game. He's probably going to make, you know, like 50% of his 3-point shots. He'll give you 100% effort the entire time. Richie is incredible. So if you can combine some people around him, man, then you really show off your depth. And BYU is starting to flex that depth right now, Jason.
Well, and to go back to your point in terms of, you know, the fact that you got a Dawson Baker 2 points, you know, Dallin Hall 1 point, Yegor Deming 3, you know, Catchings with no points.
He didn't score.
And you go on the road and you get this win, I think it makes it even more impressive when yeah. you look at how they did it. But I think the other part about this goes to what you want in a team. That when you have guys that maybe are the ones that are normally giving you the points, when they have an off game, you have guys that will step up. And in this case, Mouet Mag was certainly one of those guys. You know, Kaba Keita's game, that is the essence of what a team is. When other guys maybe are having an off game, other guys lift up their performances. And we've seen that, and to be able to do that on the road in a very, very impressive or important, game in terms of being on the bubble, I think that makes it even more of a big-time win for BYU.
BYU red hot right now, 4 straight wins. You mentioned Kaba. I mean, he locked down that win with an emphasis on the L, okay? Outstanding performance.
Who's
by
trying
Kaba
to pick a fight with Kaba Keita afterwards? Are you kidding me?
Oh, and we're showing one of the 11 combined assists, by the way, from Yegor Deming and Dallin Hall. So that's the thing that we do need to mention. While they didn't score a ton, they combined for 11 assists. Yegor will tell you, he's a little frustrated with how loose he is with the ball. 5 turnovers, yeah. too many. Yeah. But Dallin, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. He was distributing the ball beautifully. Those two are sharing it very well.
Let's not shortchange Yegor's 3. That was a massive 3.
Of course that one goes in.
Well, but you know what? It was huge. Here's what I liked about it. He hadn't scored to that point. But you look at the way he took the shot. It was no hesitation. He shot it with confidence. And it was really needed at the time.
Yes.
So it was, he only made the one, but it couldn't have come at a better time. And I liked the approach he took in taking it.
The confidence to
yes.
shoot it. The
yes.
confidence to shoot it
yep.
and make it. It was a huge one make for Yegor. All right, let's keep this rolling, Jason.
All right, this was BYU's 2nd quad one win overall. And as you mentioned earlier, the 1st quad one road victory of the year. So is this the best win of the year for BYU?
Hard to argue against it because it is a quad one road victory. And BYU, until they beat Baylor, had never won 3 straight Big 12 games in a row. Well, now they've got a new piece of history in the Big 12. They've won 4 consecutive games. It's one thing to do it on your home floor with the emotion and riding a wave of confidence when you beat Baylor. To take that on the road and do it in a scenario where we just presented some of your key players didn't score, to me, this is the most important and best win of the season. And what's interesting is BYU's been checking boxes in each of the last 4 wins. At Colorado was the first road win of the season. Mm-hmm. It was their first Big 12 road win. Then you come home and you destroy what was on paper a good defensive Cincinnati team. I mean, blow them out of the water. Then it's like, okay, well, can BYU beat a team that's above them in the metrics? You survive Baylor. Check that box. Okay, great. That's awesome. But can you do? Can you win an important game on the road? Colorado was terrible on the road. And they did that, Jason. So combine the quad one with being so far away from home and having the win streak going, traveling across the country. To me, all those things combined to give BYU their best and most important win of the season to date.
Yeah, and I think really the only two games that you're really putting in this discussion are the last two. I think it's the home win over Baylor and then the win Saturday in Orlando. And I'm with you. Ultimately, I'm going to go with the UCF game because it is on the road. You know, you look at the Baylor game, they're higher in the standings than UCF. They're a better team overall from a record standpoint. So, you know, you would think that it's a higher profile Big 12 team that you beat. So I can certainly understand anybody that would say Baylor, but
Baylor just beat Kansas.
Yeah, the fact that it was on the road, I think, trumps it all. And so I'm with you. I think it is UCF. Now the fun part is we talked about the last two games are the ones in consideration. Well, you know what? Let's look at the next one. And if BYU gets that, conversation
that's
over.
That's the best
conversation
win of the season.
Over.
I don't care if it's at home. You beat Arizona, who's tied for first right now with Houston, after a wild weekend, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
The Big 12 was, in a word, inebriated.
What?
Over the weekend.
Excuse me?
Not literally. You know what I'm saying. Holy cow. Wild weekend in the Big 12 conference on the men's basketball side of things. BYU? 52% chance to beat Arizona tomorrow. Okay? 52%!
Hey, I will take it.
Absolutely. Okay? Toss-up game because it's at the Marriott Center. UCF's good. Sean Farnham said last week, look, I think he told us, I think BYU's going to win 9, maybe 10 games in the regular season, and that doesn't include UCF. He said they're good. Like I think BYU is going to win 10 games, and that does not include beating UCF on the road. He said if BYU does, now we're into the territory of, okay, 11, could BYU get to 12 conference wins? Whoa, and one up last year? And I think we're all kind of like, oh, yeah, just beat UCF first. Well, they did. I tell you what, BYU beats Arizona tomorrow and pick up the new best win of the season.
Yeah.
And they're 7-4 in league. Yeah. Holy cow, Jason.
You're going to have to stay up late. Remember, 9 o'clock tip-off.
I mean, they're tied for fifth right now. You beat Arizona tomorrow. Conversation gets real interesting. Our question of the day. What is BYU men's basketball's best win of the season? We just gave you our answer. Both Jason and I are going with the road win at UCF because of that road factor and the quadrant one victory for the NCAA tournament resume. At Arizona, Coug won on X Answers.
Oh.
UCF, BYU won that game in a way we weren't sure they could 2 weeks ago. Showed a lot of growth to start to win these types of games. Yeah, maturity. They're just figuring out the little tweaks and the rotations. And Mewit Magh inserted into the starting lineup, the way he's been playing, Jason, has been magical.
It's been the key. And just like you said, you go through a season and you make these little tweaks and you're trying to find the right mix that works at the right time in the right situations. Yes. And so far, putting Mewit Magh into that starting five has worked.
It's been magical.
It's been great.
It's been magical. Jason's leaving. Come on, we're in full cheesy dad joke
Look,
mode.
I'm more mad that I didn't think of it first. Okay.
It was awful. You're welcome, everybody.
It was awful.
That was downright awful.
All right. We're halfway through the Big 12. I cannot believe
Magical.
we just had that. We're halfway through the Big 12 season. BYU currently 6-4, tied for fifth in the Big 12 standings. Is there a legitimate chance that BYU could finish top five in this conference by the end of the year?
Yes, because of ties. What did BYU do last year? They finished, I think it was tied for fifth, wasn't it?
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes, because you win that game at UCF. Now, I'll feel a lot better about BYU finishing potentially in the top five of the conference if they can beat Arizona tomorrow and get to 7-4, because then you've won five straight and you have massive momentum going on a tricky road trip to Cincinnati and West Virginia where you're hoping for a split.
Right.
You come back and if you come back 8-5 after Arizona, Cincinnati, and West Virginia, then you're 3 above 500. And pacing to, finish fifth. I don't know, tied for fifth. But I think it really comes down to winning two of the next three. You got to win two of the next three. So let's get BYU to that point, and then we'll discuss it. Realistically, I'm expecting BYU to finish probably tied for sixth, seventh, something around that, which is awesome in and of itself because the conference is now 16 teams. It was 14 last year. It's obviously tougher to finish in that top five when you add a few more teams to the mix. And it's not like Texas and Oklahoma were world beaters in men's basketball.
Right.
You got better by bringing in the likes of Arizona and expanding to 16 teams. So, Jason, I mean, there is a chance, but to me it feels like you have to win two of the next three if BYU is going to finish in the top five.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible for this team to finish top five in the Big 12. And I think one of the biggest reasons is when you look at the current standings, you know, you've got a lot of teams that are sort of on your heels or within a game or two behind you that you still have a chance to play twice.
Yeah.
So you can put some distance between yourself and some of the competition for that top five. I'm with you. In all likelihood, it's probably 6, 7, 8, right in that range. But what BYU has done with this four-game winning streak and the way that they're starting to play, it opens things up for games that maybe you thought were going to be a little bit more difficult. Look, and they're all going to be difficult. I don't want to say that there's any easy games. That's not what I mean. But I think there are some games where maybe you would have said, yeah, that one's going to be real tough. Now you're like, well, if BYU goes and continues to play like this, then there's no reason they can't go get this win. So, yeah, it's possible. But obviously, you know, you got to go out and take care of business. I do like your theory of two out of the next three, and you've certainly set yourself up for that.
Yes.
But look, and that's – I love that we're even having this conversation after the start in conference play.
2 weeks ago, BYU was 2-4.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying the tournament ship has sailed. Like, there were a few of us hanging on, like, come on, give them time. They've won four in a row, and now the large majority of you are right back on that tournament train, baby. Choo-choo, Jason. Let's go. All right, let's call a timeout. Yeah, blow the train whistle, please. Let's call a timeout on basketball for the moment because we found out the Big 12 Conference will unveil the 2025 football schedules for each of its teams tomorrow at 11 Eastern, 9 Mountain on ESPNU. We will have a full breakdown of the schedule revealed tomorrow on a live edition of BYU Sports Nation. But Jason, knowing that in 22 hours and 43 minutes, you'll get to see that schedule, what's the first thing you're going to be looking for when it pops up on your computer screen?
When the rivalry game is.
Yep.
That's first thing. Look, and So as part of my responsibilities for radio pregame for football, I get an opportunity to interview the opposing coach. So before the Utah game this last season, I was able to interview Kyle Whittingham. And we were talking, obviously, about the rivalry game and whatnot, and he made a comment that really stood out to me. And afterwards, I kind of wondered if he just said it because he just kind of feels that it may go this way or if he actually knows something. Because he had mentioned to me, you know, I was like, I was a bit surprised that they scheduled the rivalry game for this week. He said, but I think that's going to change here pretty soon. And when he said that, I'm like, oh, is that sort of inside knowledge? So I am curious to see if when the schedule comes out, if BYU hosting Utah this year just happens to be the last home game of the season.
Okay. One thing, did Kyle refer to you as Jason, or did he call you the broadcaster down south?
He did refer to me as Jason. Yes, he did.
Okay, that's good.
So, yes, that's what I'm looking for
naturally,
first.
Naturally, everybody wants to see if that rivalry game is going to be pushed into rivalry weekend across much of college football. That is a clear, clear headliner for the BYU schedule. I am interested to see when BYU has their bye weeks and who BYU plays after said bye weeks, which leads me to, you know what, I'm just going to show you my full slate of the 2025 ideal schedule.
Wait, you're going to throw up your entire
Let's
schedule?
Let's go. I laid it. I'm like, okay, how would I, to give BYU the best opportunity to do something magical again.
Are you trying to upstage me? Because I didn't put together a list.
No. There's no upstage. You the clear headliner, right? This is page two content, Jason.
Here, page I'm going to get it. Can somebody give me a piece of paper? I'm going to go old school and write it on a piece of paper, and I'll just hold it up.
Okay, obviously we know the non-conference games. Portland State, Stanford, back-to-back home games to open up. If you have to play a road game before the non-conference is over and a Big 12 game, send me somewhere close where you've had great success. Kalani's had great success against Arizona. Nice, soft entry into the Big 12 schedule at Arizona before you have to go across the country and play your final non-conference game at East Carolina. Okay, that's the first four. Next four, home game against UCF late September, then a bye, Jason, okay, to give Jay Hill and the defense 2 weeks to prepare for Rocco Becht and a really good Iowa State team in Ames.
Okay? I like that. I like the thought process.
Okay, a bye week before Iowa State. BYU comes home to host West Virginia, who then has to travel all the way across the country to play at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. At Colorado, another bye after you get Coach Prime in Colorado to prepare for Joey McGuire and a really good Texas Tech offense again on the road. Two more weeks to prepare for Texas Tech, followed by TCU at home, at Cincinnati final road game, and then Utah rivalry weekend,
yeah,
final game of the
I would take that
season.
Schedule. I'm very curious to see how the real thing compares to what you just put up there.
Let's go. Let's go. Mark it down. We'll see how far off I am. That's fine. I was actually pretty close last year, so I'm not anticipating.
I don't think it's that far off. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some changes here and there, but I like the thought process behind it. Let's hope that the scheduling people want to help out BYU as much as possible.
It's good. It's good for the brand, and it's good for all people across the Big 12, right?
Oh, my goodness. All right. BYU men's basketball, we've been talking about it, hosting Arizona tomorrow night at the Marriott Center. Pre-game coverage begins at 10 p.m. Eastern time on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, Jimmer Fredette joins us to discuss BYU's win over UCF. What was the most impressive part of the performance? And what advice would you give to BYU as they get set for Arizona? Stay with us.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
This group of guys, man, I love coaching because they show up and they try to get better every day, and then not every team is like that.
They're playing Jerem just with so much confidence right now, and they're connected.
It'll be a good game. It'll be a great atmosphere, and it'll be another opportunity for us to go out and continue to build on what we've been doing.
Four straight wins for BYU basketball. Welcome back to a winning Monday edition of BYU Sports Nation alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. Speaking of winning, he did a lot of it at BYU. In fact, he won the Naismith Player of the Year in 2011. He is the great Jimmer Fredette back on BYUSN. Jimmer, how are you on this winning Monday?
Man, I'm doing great. There's been some crazy trades in the NBA. There's been a ton of stuff going on. Like, I'm just enjoying stuff as a fan, and as a Cougar fan, I am happy right now and doing well. So excited to be here with you guys.
Jimmer, if you don't mind, let's rewind 2 weeks ago when BYU was coming off a very frustrating loss at Utah. They're 2-4, and much of the fan base is saying, is this team going to play in the NIT? Do they have any hope of making the NCAA tournament? Now 2 weeks ahead, they've won 4 in a row. They're 6-4, and now it's a matter of, okay, well, they're in, but what seed are they? It's crazy how fast things can change. In your opinion, what has changed for BYU basketball during their four-game win streak?
Well, I think the first thing, like being in the Big 12, we all knew this coming in, that this is a conference where it can make or break you, you know, but you have opportunities to get really good quad one wins pretty much every night, every other night that you play. So I knew that, you know, after those games, it doesn't look great. You know, things weren't going super well, but you go through lulls during the season. It's just the way that it works, especially at a conference like this, new coach, new team, guys that haven't played in the Big 12 before that are younger. You knew it was going to be something like this going on, and everyone, you know, just wanted to make sure that we weren't panicking, right? It's, you know, there's opportunities ahead, and obviously Coach Young and the staff have done a great job of putting game plans together for the next four games that they played. And the guys really stepped up. I mean, Richie has obviously been their most consistent player every single night. He's been shooting the ball extremely well. He's been playing well. You know, he's kind of taking that leadership role of, like, I'm going to be the guy that gets his buckets every night, which is huge. I've been extremely impressed with Mag. That guy just comes out and he competes. And what I love about him, he's a guy that does not fear away from the biggest threat on the other team. Like, he wants to guard that guy. And he can, right? He can guard multiple positions. He's been able to take out some guys in games and been able to do a really good job. You know, so obviously last game played extremely well. With him and Keita in the lineup, that's their best defensive lineup, and I think they've seen that the last couple of games down the stretch, being able to get stops. And, you know, Trevin played great last game. So, I mean, they're just coming together as a team. They're figuring out their roles. They're understanding each other. We knew it would take some time for them to be able to do that as a new group, but it looks like they're starting to figure that out. Now, that being said, you know, they haven't played the big dogs yet, and that's going to be coming up, and I'm excited to see how that happens.
You know, we were talking about this in the last segment and having a conversation on what is BYU's best win this year, and certainly a case can be made that it was the game at UCF. You're going on the road. It's Big 12 team. It's another team that you're fighting for position possibly in the NCAA tournament. Do you think it was BYU's best win of the year? And if not, which game do you think was?
Yeah, I think that was probably their best game. I mean, UCF has been playing good basketball. And also at their tough, hard-nosed opponent. That's one thing that I wanted to see them be able to deal with, you know, especially Yegor and some of these guys. They play really good defense. You know, Johnny Dawkins down there, they play hard-nosed, tough defense. They have good guards. You knew that they were going to be forced to be reckoned with. They wanted to win that game. And so it was a really good win because it was a road win, too, a true road win, which is not easy to get, you know, in the Big 12. So I thought that was their best game. Obviously, they played really well against Baylor. Cannon in that game was, you know, absolutely incredible, played unbelievable. But what I've seen is, like, you know, you have your consistent players with, you know, with Richie and Yegor and Foose is playing well. But then you always have one guy that comes in and gives them the lift. You know, one night it's Mag, the other night it's Cannon. You know, maybe Trevin, that is shooting the basketball really well and playing well. And if they can get that third guy to come in and really score the basketball, they're hard to beat. And I was impressed with UCF and how they handled the defensive pressure, especially in the second half.
Jimmer Fredette is on BYU Sports Nation. Jimmer, you already mentioned Mwit Mag, and in large part, he was the MVP of the game. Mr. Consistency, Richie Saunders, did his thing, as you also pointed out. But what do you think of the point guard play, specifically of the teammates of Yegor Demian and Dallin Hull, and how they're running the offense while not scoring a ton? What do you think of their overall leadership in this team in that role?
Yeah, they're still leading, right? And I've talked to Dallin, just making sure that he understands, like, hey, listen, you still need to lead when you're out there. You got to get everyone in the right position. You got to get everyone, you know, in the good spot so that they're in a catchable shooting position. He's done a really good job of doing that. And obviously Yegor has, you know, eyes in the back of his head. He can throw the ball cross court really well. He knows where everyone is. He always has at least one or two spectacular passes a game. And he just kind of knows where everyone is and understands the game. So even though they're not scoring, they're setting their players up. They're being a true point guard type role, which, you know, we're not always necessarily used to seeing in today's game. You know, for myself, when I was at BYU, obviously I was not a true point guard. I was a scoring point guard. And, you know, these guys are more, hey, I'm going to get my teammates involved. I'm going to make sure that they're in the right spots. I would like to see less turnovers from both of them continuing to go, but I think they handled it better, you know, second half. But, you know, as they continue to go, if they can do that and get their guys open and be able to get it to the scorers and, you know, play solid defense and be leaders of the team, I mean, that's all you need, as long as you have guys that can score the basketball, you know, alongside of them, which they do.
One of the exciting aspects, Jimmer, of this year's team is all of the NBA attention that this team is garnering. And obviously we know, you know, all of the projections about Yegor and Cannon Catchings, and certainly what Richie's doing right now, he's turning heads with NBA scouts. But, you know, against Baylor, I think they announced that there were 30 NBA scouts from 15 NBA teams that were there. I don't think we've seen this type of NBA presence since you were here. So what advice would you give these guys that are getting looks from the NBA on how to handle all of this?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. We didn't even get that when I was there. I mean, let's be honest. Like, this is incredible what they've been able to see, you know, and the amount of interest. And that interest is only going to go up, as you know, for the next year. So this is something that they're going to have to get used to. And you will. And it's not like, you know, it's not like coaches is in the locker room saying, hey, listen, there's 31 scouts out there. Make sure you play well. Right. Coach is like, hey, this is the game plan. This is what we need to do. This is how we're going to play. Right. The kids are aware of it. They understand. But they've been seeing that all year from the beginning of the year when Yegor played his first game. He was on social media, you know, not him, but like he was out there and everyone was like, hey, this kid is amazing. And everyone's like, yeah, like we know that. And we have a lot of NBA scouts that are at these games. So they've been playing in front of this for a while. They understand it. It's going to be the norm. The biggest thing that I think Coach is probably preaching is, you know, with NBA teams and NBA scouts, they don't really like you as much if you don't win. They want to see winners. They want to see guys that can produce on winning teams. They want to see winning mentalities. They want to understand if they can play within a team structure. So all of these things are super important. And you just go out there and play aggressive, play your game. And you know, if you're winning basketball games, NBA scouts will come to you even more.
Jimmer Fredette is on BYU Sports Nation. Jimmer, you mentioned BYU needing to play the big dogs moving forward. Tomorrow, in this instance, it's a big cat, as in Arizona, who are second place in league, or should I say tied for first now because Houston lost. Okay, so you got the top of the conference coming to Provo. So other than somebody going off for 49 points against Arizona, what advice do you have for BYU in that game?
I mean, if someone could do that, that'd be ideal. that would be lovely. You know, if Trevin could hit 12 threes or something, that'd be awesome. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is Arizona was highly touted coming into the year. They had a bit of a rough patch, and, you know, they lost, you know, top 25 rankings. And since they got into Big 12 play, they've been playing really good basketball. They have some tough, savvy veteran players and guards that can play. They have shooters. Obviously, Coach Lloyd is a great coach. He understands what he's doing. So they're going to be ready for the challenge. We understand that. But you're coming into the Marriott Center, which is it's a different place to play. It's very difficult to play in. And it's going to take a team effort for sure. I expect this to be a very close game coming down to the wire. You know, like I said, we need to have at least a third scorer that's going to come in and be able to produce at a high level, whoever that may be. Whether it's Cannon, Mag, Trevin, someone like that, that needs to have a really good basketball game, as well as, you know, Richie, Yegor, Boost being able to play kind of their normal games. It's definitely going to take a collective effort. So I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see how they compete. I'm excited to see if they are continuing to stay hungry and not getting complacent after four wins in a row, making sure that this is our time to you know, fire off 6, 7, 8 wins in a row. Try to get that type of mentality instead of just, you know, 4 and lose another one. Let's go out and get more. And I want to see that type of mentality. And I believe they're going to come out with some amazing effort, obviously with a great team coming in and an opportunity to show the world and, you know, show the committee that they're for real and they should be, you know, in a higher seed ranking than they are right now.
Well, and maybe to stay along with that line of thought there in terms of impressing people, we were talking about what's been BYU's best win so far this year. BYU can get this one tomorrow night. That immediately, you know, ends all conversation. That would be the best win. What would a win against Arizona mean to this team right now and its implications moving forward?
It means that you're a real deal in the Big 12. It means that, you know, you're compete with any team in the country. You know, those types of thoughts, whereas before this little run that we have gone on, was that the case? Could we play with the Kansases and the Iowa States and the Houstons and the Arizonas, you know, and those teams of the world? You know, you win this game and you do it in a good fashion, obviously that'll change people's minds. Obviously we can. Of course it's at the Marriott Center, so you do have that home court advantage, which is a real home court advantage that not every team has. So that's something to look at. But like I said, they've beat some really good teams. The last couple teams have been very good, Big 12 teams. They've got a lot of runway ahead of them. But this is an opportunity to show, you know, that, you know, whether they're one of the top teams in the Big 12, which is always one of the best conferences in the country. And if you can show that, obviously, you know, you're forced to be reckoned with in the tourney. And you know, anything can happen. And I just think that it's important for these guys to be prepared for that.
Jimmer, before you go, we have to ask, because you've been so great as an analyst and you're wearing your coach's cap, helping out with a local high school team in Colorado there, and obviously the highest level of basketball player. So what does the next 6 months to year look like for you from a professional venture standpoint?
Yep, right now, enjoying working out with the local high school team, you know, with Chatfield. It's the school that Whitney went to, actually, when she was in high school, and she was the cheer coach there right now. She's been the cheer assistant here to cheer coach for the last 2 years, and that's how I got involved with the basketball team and just been enjoying that. You know, obviously, I'm partner at my venture firm at Tana Ventures in Utah, which is, you know, my full-time gig, what I've been doing mostly, but then I do my basketball stuff on the side, a few other things, but I'm enjoying being a dad mostly. Like, I coach my son Taft's 5-year-old basketball team, which is the most challenging thing that I actually do on a daily basis by far. And so I love that. That's a lot of fun, and being able to kind of just go around and see all the activities and do that. So, you know, I have no playing or anything like that planned for the future at this point. I get called by teams still. You know, all over the world, and China specifically, still get, we got a text, you know, yesterday morning about it, you know, wanting me to go back and play. And I don't have that. I'm not prepared for that at this point, to be able to do that. But, you know, people are still calling for sure, but, I'm enjoying this right now. And I couldn't be happier with where I'm at. And, you know, like I said, I got a big game on Saturday at 8:55 a.m. with the 5-year-olds.
Let's go.
Excited to see how that works out.
Hey, this time of life is well deserved for you. We're all Team Taft, man, and go Chargers for that matter, speaking of Chatfield.
Right, I appreciate that. We need all the help we can get, so we appreciate that.
Jimmer, thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Jimmer.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
All right. Oh, the great Jimmer.
The great Jimmer Fredette.
Taft, 5-year-old basketball is another challenge. It is a next level challenge.
That is next level, to say the very least. All right, BYU basketball with Kevin Young coming up Thursday, 8:30 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
Headlines on the way, including BYU women's basketball. Finally, they get a huge win on the road and multiple school record-breaking performances. Details after this.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jason Shepherd. And these are your Monday headlines.
Men's hoops went to Orlando and went to Disney World. No, they didn't. They beat UCF 81-75 on Saturday, thanks to 22 points from Richie Saunders and 19 points from Mawit Mag. Mm-hmm. With the win, BYU extends its win streak to 4 games. They also improved to 6-4 in Big 12 play, currently tied for 5th place. Up next, BYU hosts Arizona tomorrow night at the Marriott Center. Pre-game coverage begins 10 Eastern time on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
The Big 12 Conference will release the 2025 football schedules for all 16 teams tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPNU. BYU plays 4 home games in the league this year, hosting TCU, West Virginia, UCF, and Utah. The Cougars have 5 road games against Arizona, Colorado, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and Cincinnati.
Women's basketball snapped its 5-game losing streak, winning at Arizona State Saturday night 77-67. Emma Calvert led BYU with 22 points. How about Kamri Barber making her first collegiate start? She picked up her first career double-double with 15 points. That's a career high, and a career high 12 rebounds. Up next, BYU returns to Provo to host UCF on Wednesday night. I'll have the call for you 7 o'clock on BYU Radio.
Start the freshmen, including Cambry. Number 5 men's volleyball dropped 2 tough matches against number 4 Hawaii over the weekend, losing in 5 sets on Friday night and 4 sets on Saturday night. Hawaii transfer Keone Thim led BYU with a combined 35 kills across the 2 matches. Up next, BYU hosts UC Santa Barbara for 2 beginning Friday.
BYU track and fields distance team competed in Boston over the weekend, where multiple school records were broken. Megan Hunter broke the BYU record in the indoor 800 meter, running a 2 minute and 21 hundredths of a second. That's the fastest in the NCAA this year. Riley Chamberlain broke the indoor mile record, running a time of 4:26.19. Her time is the 5th fastest in NCAA history and the 2nd fastest in the NCAA this year.
Whoa.
Lexi Halliday-Lowry broke the indoor 1500 meter record, running a 14:57.63, breaking the BYU record by nearly 18 seconds.
Okay, 18 seconds.
Wow.
Men's and women's tennis both competing on the road this weekend. The women's team go 2-1, beating Idaho and Eastern Washington, and then losing to Washington State. The men's team 1-1. Cougars beat Portland State before losing to Oregon.
Men's and women's diving teams competed at Air Force over the weekend. The men's team took first, while the women's team finished second.
And BYU men's and women's golf opened the spring season today. The men's team in Tucson, Arizona, competing at the Arizona NIT. The women's team in Boca Raton, Florida, competing in the FAU Paradise Invitational. After the break, BYU softball on topic. The Cougars open their season in just 3 days. Lily Owens and Haley Morrow, two of their stars, join us in studio to preview it. This is BYU Sports Nation. They're road tripping. BYU Sports Nation continues on this winning Monday from Studio B. He is Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. We are in the Cougar Council Room to welcome in two of the BYU softball stars. They are Lily Owens and Haley Morrow, getting set for a long, lengthy, albeit warm road trip featuring 24 games before you come back and finally have your home opener. But we're just excited. The softball's back. Exactly. Welcome
right.
to the show.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Lily, how are you feeling going into Big 12 campaign number two?
I'm so excited. This year is going to be our year. We had a great year last year. We got a lot of newcomers who are going to really rock for us. And we got our old players that are great. So we're going to have a great year.
Haley, same question for you.
Yeah, I think it's awesome going into year two of being in the Big 12 because we have some experience under our belt now, so we know what it takes. And ultimately, we just believe in ourselves. Like, we have the talent, but this team believes. And belief can go a long ways, and that's what it takes. And so I think we're ready. I'm super excited to get started this week.
Well, and this question's for both of you. And this is nothing new. This is something that you guys do every year. But these long road trips to start where you have all these consecutive road games, how do you guys handle that? Because that can't be easy.
Honestly, it's just get your feet wet. It's fun. You know, we're out of town. We're in the warm weather. Get a break from the cold. So it gives us a neutral place to play, have some fun, and break off any little chips or things that we need to work on somewhere else.
And it's super easy to do all that homework on the road too, right?
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
What online classes? Homework.
Yeah.
What homework? Yeah.
Good answer. Yes, good answer. The young players are like, what, we still do all the homework? I kid. Okay, there's this lingering frustration because of the absence of an NCAA tournament appearance. So while that stings, how has that motivated both of you during this off season?
That was number one, like watching us not make it and, you know, going through that and being there as a team, watching the bracketing come out and not making it, that just solidified my work. And I think the rest of the team's work and the newcomers that came in felt that. And that really propelled us into this season to go at it and grind every single day, every single pitch, every single ground ball on your own. Like, that was number one for us.
Yeah, from the moment we found out we didn't make it, it started that day of, like, the revenge tour. Like, we're coming in hot this year. And I think it's a huge motivating factor. And I just think that we want to prove to people that there is no doubt in our minds that BYU is making the tournament this year.
Where do you guys feel you have the opportunity to be better this year than last year?
I think just having the experience of being in the Big 12, you know, it was a new year for all of us. Now we know what we're facing. We know exactly what we got to look out for, what we need to do to improve from last year. So we have a clear-cut path of how to get to the success that we want.
Mm. And same question for you, just with a little twist here, Haley. Like, schematically, whether it's batting, hitting, situational softball, pitching, where do you feel like BYU's taken the biggest steps forward this offseason?
I think in every aspect of the game, we've improved. Everyone has taken the offseason seriously. And I just think that also with good health, we have people who are back and healthy. And because it takes everyone. It's going to take all 24 of us this year to be successful in the Big 12. And so, yeah, I just think that it's going to take everyone. And we're just excited to get that going on Thursday.
Lily, you were named to the preseason All Big 12 team. What does an honor like that mean to you?
It was so humbling. It was so amazing. Coming from a smaller conference school to a Big 12 school and being able to pull that, you know, it just really solidified that the hard work I put in, the support from my coaches and teammates was all the more worth it. And it just propelled me into this season to really show that again.
Haley, what's the best thing that Lily does on the softball field?
Oh my gosh, Lily's energy is unmatched. If you ever watch her hit a home run,
oh yeah,
and you see her like running around third base, running around third base and just like her celebrations. It's really like, that's the type of teammate you want to play with. It's someone that brings energy and is just so fun to play with. And that's Lily in a nutshell.
You have a nuanced awesome. Celebration, a new one at home?
Oh, yeah, I've been practicing.
Yes.
Every night in the mirror.
Hey, well, hey, let's turn the tables. Yes. What about Haley?
Haley is a leader. Haley is the captain. Haley's BYU. She's BYU SAC president, so she's head of all the athletics. She is a leader, and, you know, everybody follows Haley. And if Haley goes, we go, and that's just how Haley is.
Let's explore that a little bit. How has that responsibility been for you, Haley, not just in the softball realm, but, like, being a leader for the entire athletic department to a degree?
Well, it's really easy when you have a good support system. I can always count on my teammates, coaches, friends, admin. It's awesome that BYU just supports you in everything that you do. Like, our admin, like, they're always in our corner. They're always rooting for us. And so it makes my job super easy. But it's been a really good experience. I've learned a lot. I probably never imagined that I'd be doing all these things, but it's all been for the best. And I've learned so much, and it's making me be built for life here at BYU.
You weren't busy enough, so let's go ahead.
Well, you've got all that time from not doing homework. Yeah,
you can fill right.
it.
True.
You can fill it with some other things.
It's true. You can take care of those other items. We kid. All right, we have Lily Owens and Haley Morrow with us from BYU Softball and BYU Sports Nation. Let's finish with a couple of quick hitters. What's the best and worst part about all of these road trips and warm places and early season softball?
Best free vacation. We're going to Mexico. So I don't know what's better than that. All-inclusive resort. We're going to have a great time.
Would you add anything different to that as far as the best part goes, Haley?
Well, we get to travel to some of the coolest places with our best friends, which is so awesome.
Okay. And worst part about that?
A little fatigue towards the end, you know. It's hard being away for so long, but we'll get through it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard living out of a suitcase for that long.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm in the process of packing everything right now for a trip, and I have no idea where to even start. But the long trips are so fun, though. We get to bond together as a team, and it's a good experience.
They both love shoes, Jason.
Yeah, so, I mean, both, like, both love shoes.
Shoes you're going to take. That's the hardest part.
Yeah. You have a special suitcase just for the shoes, by the way?
I have a section for the shoes, purposefully. Yep, it's set out.
Okay, so you mentioned bonding, and I think that's a part of this. This does give you, look, it's either going to go really, really well or really, really bad for that long, but it is an opportunity for you guys to be able to bond, and because you're there for a long period of time, you eat together, you practice together, you're playing these games together. This really is something that can help kickstart that bonding, you know, before the season really gets underway, you know, in conference.
I really give it a testament to the coaching staff. They brought in 24 girls who love the sport, love each other, and we've really pushed the idea of being one, and if we all push the same direction, we're going to win. And I think everybody's bought into that, so I don't see a problem coming forward with that. Obviously, we're all young women, so a little strife somewhere here and there, but in the long run, we're all extremely close.
Love it. We are so stoked. Can't wait to see both of your home run celebrations and home plate. The home run chain back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, back and better.
Okay, the bling is back.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for the La Jolla Invitational beginning on Thursday. Thanks for coming in. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you
for having us.
All right, after the break, what do you think to this point is the best win of the BYU men's basketball season? Did it just happen against UCF? More responses to our question of the day on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. BYU men's basketball's best win of the season is fill in the blank at YegorDemon_fan on X Answers. After seeing Baylor beat number 11 Kansas by 11, I think it's got to be the Baylor win. All cylinders rolling for BYU. If Baylor loses that game, I'd say the win over UCF. We tend to go with the road quad one win.
Yeah.
Just edging out Baylor. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from @Samar_LaRopa on X, who says simply, tomorrow versus Arizona. Oh, yeah!
Foreshadowing. I enjoy it.
Today's Rising Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about we give it to Kaba Kata for his clutch plays at the end of the game as well as it's right after the game. He doesn't want any of your talk, okay? All right?
UCF fans didn't like it. Throw up that L!
They never learn, do they? After one block, they decided they wanted to try it again. Kaba said no.
Oh, well done, Kaba. Our thanks to today's guest, Jimmer Fredette, And from BYU softball, Lily Owens and Haley Morrow.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jason Shepard, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Logan Magnuson. We'll see you back here in Studio B tomorrow. Go Cougs!